Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 193 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm laughing because it is now 7 a.m. on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. I've been up since about 5, and I don't wake up and start looking at social media. Like, you will never get back to sleep, and you will have a bad day. I don't know why I would do such a thing. It's the dumbest thing ever. But anyway, so here it is. I'm coming off of a phenomenal weekend. I was just in the south of France over Labor Day weekend. My friend Vinks, an incredible percussionist and musician. You've heard me talk about him before. If you don't know, look him up. V-I-N-X, Vinks. Anyway, he moved to Chalabre in France about 2 years ago. And he got married this weekend. And I went for the wedding. And I have to say, the south of France just absolutely beautiful. I stayed in a town called Carcassonne, and I don't speak French at all, so I'm pronouncing everything wrong, and I apologize to the French for it. But I was in a beautiful hotel right across the street from a castle. Castles are kind of cool. Like, this castle was the village, right? So it's like a walled village inside, you know, shops, restaurants, everything that the old castles had, right? I didn't see any serfs. I would have liked to see a few serfs wandering around, but you know, I got the vibe. It was very, very interesting. Of course, with Game of Thrones culture, whenever you see a castle, you're like, all right, where's a dragon? There were no dragons, but it was very cool. But all kidding aside, the people couldn't have been nicer. You know, I've heard all this stuff about the French and being rude and not liking Americans. Not my experience at all. The people could not have been nicer, couldn't have been more accommodating of the fact that I don't speak French. Again, just a beautiful area, delicious food. Very fresh food, all natural, very fresh from breakfast, where you had all kind of fruits and yogurts and, you know, stuff. A lot of cheese. I'm not a cheese guy, but a lot of cheeses. If you like cheese, cheese was good. Obviously, wine was great. I'm not a wine. I don't drink, but people were talking about the wine and how fantastic it was. I had wild boar stew that was just delicious, amazing, and I'm not a foodie at all. But again, just an amazing weekend and experience, and I'm a big proponent of travel. If you want to learn the world, see the world, and I post about it on my social media, and I say over and over, the more I travel, the more different people I like, you know, this year from Pakistan to France. You just find out the more you meet different people in different cultures, our similarities far outweigh our differences, so kudos to Vinks and Jen. I love you guys. And the south of France, you nailed it. What a great place to live. So go visit the south of France. Is it cheap? No. I mean, it's an expensive flight and all that stuff. But actually, living there and buying homes is surprisingly cheap. If I spoke French, who knows? I don't know if I'm funny in French. I don't know if I can live there, but it's beautiful. So that being said, that was the good news. Now, the bad news, obviously, well, okay, to me it was a bad news. To some, it was wonderful. Hurricane Harvey, is by any measure devastating. We've seen the pictures, I didn't realize the devastation of the homes until I was reading about people who have to gut their homes, literally rip out all the drywall walls and the floors because the moisture is so, the house is so saturated that if you don't get everything out of the house, the wood, the frame of the house will rot away. I can't imagine that horror. Okay, I mean, it's one thing, I mean, horrible enough to lose all your possessions, right? Your you know, furniture, pictures, family heirlooms, your car, whatever you had in the house. One thing to lose all that, but literally the house is destroyed. So now you have to like rip out the floors and walls of the house. This remarkable devastation by any standard except your president, who said that, you know, it was wonderful. This is what he said, okay? They were just happy. I'm quoting. They were just happy. A lot of happiness. It's been very nice. It's been a wonderful thing. As tough as it was, it's been a wonderful thing, even for the country to watch and the world to watch. It's been beautiful. Have a good time, everybody. I'm going to help them. What the fuck? What? Listen, you can say that it was wonderful how people came together after this horrible disaster. But you cannot say it was a wonderful thing. He still thinks that this hurricane was a campaign stop. From the moment he said there's a great crowd. Remember that last week? It's a great crowd. It's a good turnout. It's a great crowd. Now, it was wonderful. What the fuck? How? The disconnect from reality is beyond human comprehension. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to argue with this. I don't know how to explain. I don't know what to say other than, no, it was not wonderful. It is. Do not say have a good time after a hurricane. Why? Who do you have to say that to? It's unbelievable. How do you have to say to somebody, hey, don't say have a good time after a hurricane? Here's the thing. There's a principle in recovery. The early recovery that you advise people, and when I say recovery, I'm talking about people coming off drugs and alcohol. You say, listen, whatever your first thought is, do the opposite. Okay, that's because if you're hooked on drugs or alcohol or whatever, everything you've done has led up to this point, right? So now you're in rehab or you're in jail or somehow your life's become a mess. You're at your very bottom. So the advice is anything you think, do the opposite. This is the advice for Republicans and the Republican administration, okay? If your first thought is to say, hey, this hurricane is wonderful, don't say it. Say the opposite. If you're the Secretary of State of Texas, okay, Rolando Pablos, and Canada offers you aid, and your first thought is, no, we don't want your Canadian aid, just say a prayer for us. Don't say that. Say the opposite. Say, Canada, thank you. Thank you, Canada. Because his second move was the right move when he said, oh, I was mistaken. We don't want to turn down your aid. You just called the wrong office. The aid has to go through blah, blah, blah. That was the right thing to do. See, whatever your first thought is, don't fucking say it, okay? Now, on the topic of the Republicans, this is the thing. This is why you can't defund the government. This is why you can't deregulate the government. You can't defund the FEMA. You can't defund disaster relief. You know why? Because there are disasters. Because we still have disasters. So the Republican plan was to chop $876 million from the disaster relief budget. And then what happened? A disaster. And they realized, oh, wait a minute. That's why we have to have money for, yes, that's why you have money for disasters. Because there's always another disaster. There's always another hurricane. There's always another forest fire. There's always another earthquake. There's always another snowstorm. There's always another disaster. That's why we have disaster relief. As much as you idiots preach this small government, we don't need the government thing, guess what? The government was created for the common good. Okay, can I say that again? The government was created for the common good. That's what the government is for. That's what it does. So when there's a disaster, when people's homes are destroyed, I know you think it's wonderful, but it's really not. It's a disaster. It's a terrible thing. And the government is supposed to come in and pay for the relief, help get people into shelters, help people get food, help people rebuild their homes, etc., etc., etc. That's what the government does. You don't take $876 million from the disaster relief budget to build a fucking wall. That was their plan. Take the money from there to build the stupid wall. A hurricane wall? No, a wall against Mexicans. Now, I'm not even going to go into the beautiful irony of this happening in a red state. This happening to Texas because you were the guys who are against all of this, right? Remember, Ted Cruz, when you were against helping the victims of Sandy? Suddenly you're victims and you need the government money. And again, when I say beautiful irony, nothing beautiful about the hurricane, the irony of the situation. You wish it would wake them up. You wish they would pay attention. Now, these anti-government people, you wish they'd see that this is a reason for government. One, the common good. Second, you know all those liberal, queer science people? Them queers with their science and their anti-Jesus and their blah, 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 blah. Yeah, guess what? Guess what? Government regulation, there's a reason for government regulations. Like, there's a reason that they say, don't build on a floodplain, or don't build homes too near to that chemical plant, because if something happens, all those chemicals are going to wash into the home. There's a reason for science, because it's fucking science, because it's intelligence. I don't know how you argue with this. I don't know what you say to this, but yeah, Texas, guess what? There's a reason that they study where to build homes and say, hey, it's not a good place to build thousands of homes because something could go wrong. You know why? Because things do go wrong. So that's another reason that government is not inherently bad or evil or whatever. There's a reason that these rules were built. It's not just because Obama was out to get you. I know, that's why they had rules, because Obama was out to get you. By the way, I love the people who claim that Trump's response to Harvey was so much better than Obama's response to Katrina. Yeah, some bitch Obama playing golf when Katrina hit, some bitch. Well, he wasn't the president when Katrina hit. See, that was in 2005 when George W. Bush was president. I know it doesn't matter. It was still Obama's fault. I understand. But I'm just throwing it out there that maybe, you know, you shouldn't blame Barack Obama for shit that didn't happen while he was president. I know, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, forgive me. So, getting back to my point, the government is not inherently evil. The government is not inherently wrong. And we need the government for reasons like this. You know why we have a disaster fund? Because we have disasters. And I don't know how to make that simpler. I don't know how to make that more understandable. Oh, well, you know, maybe when disasters happen, private charity should take care of it. Remember that? Remember that whole private charity thing? Now, mind you, when a country offers help, Canada, you say, no thanks, we'll take some prayer instead. Joel Osteen, how's that for prayer? How about the pastor of the megachurch who says, whoa, hey, I can't be opening up this church to victims of a flood. And another irony, victims of a flood, okay? Victims of a flood. So, like, Noah had this ark, and he was, See, I can't just open up the ark when there's a flood unless, you know, the government asked me to, or maybe they... See, he said that he couldn't open his church because there was horrible flooding. And then they showed that horrible flooding in his megachurch with just a couple of inches of water. And then he said, well, the government didn't, and finally, but here's the thing. And Joel Osteen, he preaches this prosperity gospel, okay? And this again, the twisting of the gospel is beyond belief. But it works. It works for them. So instead of the gospel being this whole thing of help the poor and the needy and the less fortunate, it's that Jesus wants you to be rich. And if you ain't rich, you're doing something wrong. And if you want to get rich, you got to give me more money. Buy my books. That's Joel Osteen's thing. And good for him, okay? P.T. Barnum would be proud. P.T. Barnum would be proud. P.T. Barnum, Barnum and Bailey Circus, there's a sucker born every minute, one of the sayings. No one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public, another one of his sayings. He would love Joel Osteen, because not only has Joel Osteen built this empire, live in a $10 million mansion, have a private jet, 16,000-seat church, et cetera, et cetera. He's done it all tax-free. Brilliant. So good for him. So good for him. And people actually went to the church on Sunday after Joel Osteen kept the doors to the church closed to all these people who were suffering from the hurricane and the flood. They went to church Sunday and they gave money. So good for Joel. I can't get mad at you. You pull a con that well, you have that many people falling for your bullshit, I can't be mad at you. kudos, hats off to you. Now, I'm not calling religion bullshit because there's a lot of religious people, just like during Katrina, there are a lot of religious people on the ground helping, contributing, providing food, shelter, literally physical labor, helping people rebuild their lives. It's not religion, it's bad. But guys like him are bad people. This is a bad guy. This is a selfish guy. This is a greedy guy. This is a con man. And there's going to be people that he helped me, his books helped me, really? But did he help the most needy? Again, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, I hope Jesus don't come back because, man, do you want to tell Jesus? Do you want to stand there and tell Jesus why you didn't open your big church during a flood? Would you really want to say, listen, Jesus, see, Jesus, what happened was, see, what had happened was it flooded, right? But I lost, see, my keys, right? My keys were in my other pants. Yeah, that's what I was going to open the church and my keys were in my other pants and there was water and I couldn't get my shoes wet because they're Gucci loafers. You can't wear Gucci. Ooh, yeah, this ain't working out for me, is it, Jesus? Probably not. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. If you have a mega church and there's a flood and your first thought is lock the doors, do the opposite, open the doors. That's what you do. Oh! okay, enough on the flood. If you can give anything, give. If you can help in any way, help. And what do they say? First, do no harm. So maybe that. If you could just not make things worse, that would be good. It wasn't wonderful. There was also a huge fire here in Los Angeles, not too far from where I live. I know where this fire was in Latuna Canyon. I've ridden that canyon road. I've driven that road. We like playing in the canyons with our cars and motorcycles and such. Horrible. One of the biggest, if not the biggest fire in Los Angeles County history, combined with 100 degree temperatures. Kudos to the firefighters who were out there. Unbelievable job. And you know, I drove, literally, I'm not a firefighter, but I played one on television. I once drove a fire engine on a TV show wearing the rubber suit, wearing fireman's gear. Yeah, you would not believe how difficult that was. And I was just playing at it. I wasn't a fireman going into a fire. So what these guys do is truly unbelievable. And we, as a people, thank you. Thank you for what you've done, for putting your lives in harm. It's really, you can't imagine how difficult that is. I know a couple of guys who fight those wildfires. Your job is unreal, unbelievable. And the fire is somewhat controlled now. The freeways are opening. People are going back to their homes. Many homes weren't burned because of the work that you guys do. Unbelievable, and we thank you for what you do and for your existence and your work, etc., etc. The big lie, the big noise. There's a book by Dinesh D'Souza. It's called The Big Lie. It's about the Democratic Party is truly the party of the Nazis and blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Just stop it with this nonsense. Okay, here's the thing. It starts with the good old premise that the Republicans were the party of Lincoln and they're the ones who freed the slaves. And yeah, we know. But that party of Republican Party isn't the Republican Party of today. There was a thing called the Southern Strategy in the 60s where the Republicans went after the racists during the Civil Rights era to get them on board to gain votes. The parties have switched identities. Democrats are Nazis. Absolutely, yeah, they're the Nazis because they're the ones who support Nazi policies like, you know, health care, women's rights, gay marriage, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, okay, we got it. Listen, there's so many things wrong with this book. Is the New York Times bestseller list corrupted? Yes, it is corrupted by marketing, by surveys rather than actual sales, by that woman who proved that she could get on the bestseller list by buying her own books, etc., etc. So the New York Times, not perfect. Does that suddenly bring credibility to this bullshit? No. Okay, this book is supported by Rush Limbaugh. I don't want Rush Limbaugh's recommendation on anything except where to get some good Oxycontin. If I need some good Oxy, then I'm going to check with Rush. Otherwise, I'll pass. So if you listen, if you are right wing and you want to believe what's in this book, go ahead, read the book. Yeah, Hillary Clinton's part of some conspiracy and Soros is a Nazi. And yeah, we got it. Moving on. The DREAM Act, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That's what DACA stands for. Somebody posted on Twitter that should be a question that someone in the media should ask Donald Trump. What does DACA actually stand for? No way he knows. Okay, no way. But anyway, so this is his latest thing. He's going to put an end to the DREAM Act. The DREAMers, as they're commonly called, these are young people. These are people. Okay, that's the first thing to remember. These are people brought to America as children illegally. And now they've grown up. They're living their lives. They do everything that American. They've gone to American schools. They speak English, blah, 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 blah. They work. They've served in the military. Do you hear that, Donald Trump? They served in the military. You didn't. I didn't. But you didn't. That's the important thing here. Anyway. They're Americans for all intents and purposes. Well, now they want to deport them. Trump is going to Sessions. I'm just laughing because the idea of this big lie book that these are not like Nazis. And I'm not saying Trump is a Nazi, but if you look at how it's done, you could just equate it. So Trump is going to Sessions and saying, hey, let's figure out how to get these people out of the country. We don't know if it's our job, or they're going to try to punt it over to Congress. And Paul Ryan said some nonsense about every American is born with the opportunity to do anything, which, shut up, Paul, it's not true. Okay, it isn't equal. The education system isn't equal. The opportunity isn't equal. So now they want to throw these people out of the country. They want to send them back to a country they don't know. Oh, and by the way, when I say these people, I mean Latino people. I mean Hispanic people. Trust me, they're not looking to send DREAMers back to Eastern Europe or Ireland or, you know, somewhere else that they may have come to the United States illegally from. And no knock against Irish. I'm just using it as an example. But no, they're not looking at white immigrants. They're looking at brown immigrants. That's who this applies to. So let's not pretend that that's not the case. So now they want to round these people up, send them back, because Donald Trump said, and I don't even know how to argue with these kind of statements. Like, it's difficult to argue with insanity. You can argue with reason. You can argue with logic, even if you don't agree with it. But insanity is difficult to argue with because there is no starting point. So he said, I want DREAMers to come from the United States. Now, how do you argue with that? First of all, Americans have dreams, okay? American kids, American people grow up with dreams. You go to a school, ask a child what he wants to be when he grows up. He might say, you know, astronaut or ball player or actor or whatever his dream is. He has a dream. He's allowed to have a dream. He's an American. He's allowed to have a dream. The Mexicans didn't come over the border and steal dreams. I know they stole everything else. I know that, you know, most people had that dream of being a migrant farm worker, and that dream was stolen. I don't know how you argue with that. So does it mean that the Latinos shouldn't dream till all of our dreams are achieved, or are we allowed to dream first and they have to wait in line to dream, or are they literally sneaking in and taking our dreams? Like, while you're asleep, are they sneaking over to the fence? Oh yeah, maybe like you're counting sheep, right? And they always show that cartoon of counting sheep. The sheep are jumping over a wall and you're counting them. So maybe the Latinos will jump over that wall in your sleep and take away your dreams. I'm not sure what the fuck he's talking about. Okay. I will say this, that if your mother was an immigrant and you've had two wives who were immigrants and you manufacture goods overseas and your resorts are staffed by immigrants, maybe you're not the best one to talk about the American dream. Just saying, maybe. And also this, okay, if you want to take that away, okay, You want to take this away from kids. These are kids who, through no fault of their own, are not legally here. That's the key phrase, through no fault of their own. Through no fault of their own. Okay, let's go after another batch of kids who have a life through no fault of their own. Those with inherited wealth. Yeah, all the kids who inherited wealth, who are rich through no fault of their own, let's take it away. Let's just take their money away. Hey, it's not their fault they're rich. They were born that way. Those son bitches don't have dreams. They already have everything, so they have nothing to dream of getting. So let's give them back their dreams by taking away inherited wealth. Okay, can I say that again? Let's give those Americans back their dreams by taking away inherited wealth. That's right. You got into college on a legacy admission, but that didn't take a dream. That didn't take a hard work. You didn't have to pull up your bootstraps to get in. Your dad went to Yale. Not anymore. We're going to take that away so that you have the right to dream like an American. This here, America, and we're going to give you the right to dream by taking away your wealth that was just given to you. That takes away, you don't have to dream because you were born rich. That'll be some American dreaming. Yeah, right. The hatred, the discrimination, the racism, the horror of these people is beyond belief and beyond explanation. I truly don't know what to tell you. It's just there. But I like to close on a high note, and I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about freedom. This here in America, some bitch, we're going to talk about freedom. Texas allows open carry of swords. That's right. That's right. Some bitch, it's America, and a man wants to carry a sword, he has the right to carry a sword. So as of last Friday in Texas, you can legally be allowed to carry blades longer than 5.5 inches in most but not all places. This means you can carry Bowie knives, daggers, throwing knives, stilettos, swords, machetes, and of course, spears. Because how can you walk around without a spear? I guess this is good for people who can't afford a gun, maybe. Then you can carry a spear. If you try a black joke about spears right now, I'll slap you. I'll stab you with my spear. We all have one. Now, they're not crazy, so it's still illegal to carry your blades into bars and restaurants, schools and universities, polling places, the secure part of airports, racetracks, high school, college, or professional sporting events. Unless the person is a participant and a knife is used in the event. Correctional facilities, you can't bring your sword to jail. Hospitals, nursing homes, and mental hospitals, unless written authorization is given. So you can actually get written permission to take a sword to a mental institution, which is always good. Amusement parks, churches, synagogues, or other established places of religious worship. So if there's a flood and you're carrying a sword, you can't get into the church. You're going to have to give up your sword. Why the hell not? Why the hell not, Texas? Let's carry swords. Listen, I just came from Carcassonne in France, and they had a castle, and I said, I didn't see anyone with swords. So you need to go to Texas and build a castle so you can carry a sword. This weekend, I am Saturday night, September 9th. I'm headed to Oceanside, California, right between Orange County and San Diego. I'm doing a show at West Coast Funnies. It's going to be phenomenal. Thursday and Friday night, I'm at the Laugh Factory. I'm also going to be in Hollywood. Yeah, I'm having a ball. I'm home this week. It's going to be great. I love you. Thanks for listening. Who's paying attention? You are. Don't have a wonderful flood.